We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
All right. Thank you for having us today. We are very glad to be here. I'm going to go ahead and ask my beautiful wife, Andrea, to introduce us and to welcome us from...
You did a pretty good job there. Yeah, I mean, that was like quite a list. We didn't add that we have 8 grandchildren as well. So, you know, if we're going to boast in the Lord, we're going to boast in that because that's pretty great. But good morning. I am a bit overwhelmed on the travel that we've had so far and being with you all. And the scripture talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. And I can tell you that this life in the kingdom of God is so fulfilling because I truly experience the love of God in an overwhelming way that is just not human. This just isn't human. This is supernatural. And to be in that and to experience that and to meet you all. And you know, Jesus said that the eye is the lamp of the body, right? And then the light is so bright, but then the darkness is also extremely dark. And I see the contrast. And being with you all and seeing the light that's in your eyes, and then also touching the world that there's no light in their eyes, and the stark contrast of the people of God and the love that I have for the people of God all over the world. And it is such a privilege. It is such a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God and to experience that. And so I, with great love, say hello and thank you so much for having us. It is an honest privilege.
So we're going to do something I often do when I go to places. I'm going to ask you to greet the church in California. Ready? Go. Go ahead. Yes. One more time. Awesome. Thank you. That was great. Praise God. This is great to be here. We love being here, by the way. This is wonderful to be with you. I am loving seeing every seat full. Praise God. That's a hunger for God in this community. That's a hunger for God in your hearts and in this church. How many of you know that a lot of people think it would be better to be doing something else this morning, and yet you decided to come down here because you wouldn't be here unless you meant business. You wouldn't be here unless you were serious. You would not be here unless you were looking for God. You would not be here unless there was a hunger and a thirst burning in you. And I'm believing God today that the power of God is going to come upon your life and meet that hunger. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, not just hunger and thirst, but for righteousness, because he went on to say what? That they will be filled. They will be met by God's power. So I'd like to pray over this as we get started. Father, we thank you today that your word is full of power, and that you are reigning over us, and you are even hovering over us in this meeting right now, and that the power of the Holy Ghost, the Most High Living God, is in this place. I thank you, Lord, that every demonic power that would torment these people, that would try to destroy their families and their futures, has no authority here. I say to all of that, in the name of Jesus, you will have no power here, but the power of the Holy Ghost will begin to move in this room today and set men and women free. I thank you, Lord, that we've been called to be free. We were called to be free. It was for freedom that you came. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. I thank you, Lord, that the destiny of all these people is good and full of promise and full of hope, and that all the things in this life that would come to beat us down and to distract us and to tell us we don't have any future, that's a lie from hell. and it will be broken over the lives of men and women. They will walk in freedom and stand tall in this community for Jesus. That the humility in their heart will be the strength of their stride as they go through this land bringing the everlasting gospel in the name of Jesus. And if you believe that, everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Today I want to talk to you about how we transform society. How does the local church transform society? How do we bring the power of God to this community? I want to announce to you in the beginning of this message that God did not call you to this church to give you a self-improvement plan. He did not bring you into the kingdom of God just to make your life better. Now, when you come into the kingdom of God and you give your life to Jesus, does your life become better? Oh yeah, because the Bible says sin is a harsh taskmaster. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So before we knew Jesus, before we had surrendered our lives to God, we were living as rotten people, sinners, full of devils, and on our way to hell. Let me make that clear. Every person that is not born again, that has not given their life to Jesus Christ and surrendered at an altar and said, Lord, I have been a sinner. I am a sinner. I am a wretched person. And I'm asking you to forgive me and to cleanse me of my sin and come and live in my heart and be my God. Be my Savior. Be my Lord and rule and reign over me. Until we have done that, we are on our way to hell. We are lost. And not only are we lost in eternity, we're lost in this life. Living a life of self-pleasure and sin that invites upon us a reward of that sin, which is usually rotten things and wicked things happening to us that bring death and destruction. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes and transforms us and fills our heart with the power of God and the love of God to transform us. When you were born again, if you have been born again, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you did not just get a trip to heaven and secure an eternal retirement. You also began to be transformed by the power of God. And that transforming power, that anointing, that grace, that supernatural life moved into the inside of you, and you began to be a person who carries that transformation to others everywhere you go. That is your life. The moment you bowed at an altar, it changed and you took off into a whole new world. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus at the tender age of 19 years old. If you're wondering how long ago that was 40 years ago. 4 decades ago. I was not raised in a Christian home. My parents did not know God, and all we knew was drugs, drinking, partying, carousing, and living an evil life. You could be evil and not be doing any of those things. But I remember when I was born again, the power of God entered my spirit and entered my soul. And the Lord said, everything you were doing, we are done with that. You are done. You're finished. And from this moment onward, you will answer your call and you will be a man of God. And I will send you to the nations. And I will send you throughout the earth as a man of transformation. First, I will transform you. And then the message of it will live in you. And you will bring that everywhere you go. And you will go and transform cities, regions, and countries. Everywhere I send you, my power will go with you. And you will be my representative until you go into eternity. And that meant that everything I was doing before had to end. Everything I was thinking before got changed. My identity was changed. I thought I was going to be a rock star. Seriously. That's not a joke. I had a musical gift from a very young age. I could play lots of instruments. And I really fancied the electric guitar, especially those guys that had long hair and, you know, played real fast and banged their head. And I was rocking out. I was rocking out. And I remember one night, I had a vision and a dream where it was the afternoon, because, you know, when you do a lot of drugs and you do a lot of drinking and you carouse all night, you have to take a nap in the afternoon to get ready for your next night of sin. And so, so it was during the afternoon I was taking a nap, because I was going to go out and be evil and play rock and roll in concerts and clubs and all that. Remember, I was a rocker. I was a rock and roller. I was going to be a rock star. That's what I was going to do. I was going to have a record and a record label and be out there. And I had this dream and this vision where I sort of really had an outer body experience where I don't know how to explain it, but I became paralyzed and I couldn't move. And then I passed out. And then I woke up in hell. And I saw myself there. And this really awful, ugly figure stepped forward, who I presumed to be the devil himself. And he just waved his hand like this. And when he waved his hand, a screen, like a video screen, much like that right there, he just waved his hand and grinned at me. And from this wave, a screen dropped down, and all of a sudden a video appeared. And guess what it was? It was me rocking out. And he just laughed and he said, "I own you. I own you." And he just looked at me. And I knew then I was toast. If you don't know what that means, buried and dead and on my way to hell. And I was terrified. And I shook and I said, "Jesus!" How did I know to say that? Because recently, before that time, my mother had been born again, and she said, "If you are ever in a scrape with hell, cry out to Jesus to get out of it." Right. Now, I was not serving God, and I was not walking with God, but I did remember that. And that's a good word for some of you. If you are not serving God yet, and you are ever getting in a scrape with the devil because he's out there, and he's coming for you, you need to cry out to God. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I snapped out of that vision. I sat up in bed, and I could feel the tangible darkness around me. And I knew I was lost and going to hell. You'd think at that point I would have served God and I would have given my life to Jesus, but I didn't. The revelation that you're going to hell is not enough. The conviction about it is what matters. Amen. There's many people listening to this today that you know you're not right with God, but you're not convicted yet. My prayer today is that conviction will come upon your soul and grip you in such a way where you say, "Oh God, transform my life and deliver me once and for all from the evil things I have been a part of and still grip my spirit and grip my mind and grip my body." A little while later, I was on my way to a party to go do more of the evil stuff I always did. And I heard this voice speaking to me. And he said, "It's over. Tonight, it is over." I said, "What is over?" He goes, "You and your life." And he said, "From this night onward," he didn't say, "I'm going to be a better person." He didn't say, "I'm going to start going to church." He didn't say, "I was going to attend Sunday school." He didn't say, "I was going to start being nice and I was going to wean myself off drugs through a 12-step program." He said, "You are done. It's over. And from this night onward, you will answer your call and you will be what I made you to be once and for all." Well, how many of you know there's no voice like that voice? There is no voice like that voice. I turned my car around and I went home and I went to bed. There's no sense in staying up all night doing drugs and drinking and carousing when you're not going to do that anymore because you've answered a call. I don't know how God has the power to do that, but he just does. He has the power to speak. And when he speaks, everything in your inside shifts. And everything I thought I was going to do and everything I wanted to be and everywhere I thought I was going broke in a moment. And it was over. And I knew I had just become someone else. And I went to church the next day and I just sat in the back and said, give the altar call. I just waited. I don't even remember what they said. I said, altar call. Altar call. Just give the altar call. What seemed like forever, through all the singing and all the announcements and all the offering and all the preaching, I don't remember any of that. I just said, altar call. I almost wanted to stand up at the back and say, altar call! Hurry! Finally, thank God. They gave the altar call. I said, there it is. And I ran forward and I got on my knees at an altar just about like this. And I got on my hands and knees and I bowed low and I said, this is the final surrender. And from tonight onward, I will never be the same. I will serve you, Lord. I will follow you completely all the days of my life. And I will never look back. I will be a man of God. Amen. I repented. And asked Jesus to come and forgive me for every wicked and evil thing I had done and been a part of. And he did. And when I stood up, another person stood up. It was like I had pilot lights for eyeballs. A fire had just exploded and taken off inside. When I looked around, I said, everyone's going to hell. It doesn't know God. My generation is lost and on its way to hell. We'll split it wide open. The people I work with are going to hell. The people I go to school with are lost and on their way to hell. And the ones that aren't on their way to hell are so condemned and so beat down that while they may be saved, they're still so condemned that you'd never know they were saved by how they live. And I begin to be broken. And I begin to think, oh God, surely you did not die and raise from the dead for it to be like this. Yeah. You can imagine my frustration when I first started going to church and I saw how weak it was. There weren't people being delivered. There weren't people being saved. Now, I'm not saying all churches are weak. I'm just saying for someone who'd been delivered from going to hell, when I went into the church and I saw how comfortable everybody was and how unconcerned they were about the lost in their generation and how much they thought church was about enjoying themselves and having a good life now in the church. And I said, what about people being set free from the devil? I'm glad you have a youth group. I'm glad you have a college and career group. I'm glad you enjoyed bowling. But when will there be deliverance for our generation? And when will society be transformed through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? When will what happened to me happen to the people in this town? When will how God spoke to me, when will he speak to them? When will they meet the power of the Holy Ghost and have demon spirits cast out of them and be delivered and begin to go forth and see this society become like the kingdom of God? And I want to say this to you, whatever God has done in you, he wants to do through you. He has not just done it to you. The intent was to do it through you so that everywhere you go, you are a walking manifestation of the power of God and a deliverer in your society. You were saved to be full of the Holy Ghost and to set people free. You were saved to be anointed and appointed as an ambassador and a minister of reconciliation. When this happened in my life, I immediately went back out into my community and I tried to find every friend I could find to tell them about Jesus. I tried to find all my schoolmates, all my rock and roll bandmates, everyone I'd played at clubs, all of that. I said, you all need to be saved. You're going to hell. You need God, and God's power will be here to deliver you. They said, you've got to be out of your mind. I said, no, I actually finally found it. It is you that are confused. And many people got saved and many people rejected it. And many people died young, and I don't know what became of them. But they did not surrender to God before they died. So I'm going to have to leave that to God. But there are people out in this community waiting for you to come to them with the power of God. They're waiting for you to come with a message of deliverance. They're waiting for you to come with a transformed heart to say, I have something in my heart and in my hands and in my mouth to declare to you, and when I lay my hands on you, something is going to change. The power of God is going to come upon you, and the things that are tormenting you, we will command to let you go. This has all been the introduction. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13. I mean, you know, God means business today. And so do you. All right, so verse 13 says this. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins and redemption. Now, it says here that he rescued us. Now, we often think of rescue, you know, like someone's drowning in the water and the plane drops in and, you know, a basket drops down and they're drowning and splashing around out there and they climb into the basket and the helicopter lifts them up, or someone's going down the river and we throw them a life raft and we drag them out of the water. And that wouldn't be bad. That's a good description. Jesus came and threw you a life raft and drug you out of a mess. You could go with that, but the intent of this message is deeper than that, because the word rescue there means to draw to oneself. And so God doesn't come and say, here's a rope, here's a life raft, whew, catch it, good job. Now let's just sort of reel them in. No, that's not what it means. It means something deeper than that. It means God comes to you and says, come here. Come here. And he pulls you into himself, and he wraps his arms around you. He says, come near me and let my love. Here, come up here, right here. He says, stand right there. Jesus comes up to us and he says, come here. Just come here. And as he puts his arms around us and holds us and becomes close to us, he whispers to us, and he begins to heal us, and he begins to transform us, and he begins to make us whole, and he begins to make us complete, saying, I love you. I died for you. I'm with you at all times. Hear my thoughts. Hear my words. Hear my heart. Feel my love for you. Feel my embrace. Know the manner of my nature and my love. Embrace forgiveness and be transformed through my mercy. When Jesus, thank you, brother, when Jesus comes to you to rescue you, he doesn't say, life raft, you're not going to die now. Oh, no, no. He doesn't say, just get out of the water. He says, come into me. Amen. He comes and embraces you and says, we are one, you and I. And my heart is tender over you. And my mercy and my forgiveness are extended to you. I am rescuing you, not just from the fatality of death, I'm rescuing you from the nature that's driving you there. I'm not just rescuing you from the end. I'm delivering you at the beginning. And I'm not just getting you out of the river. I'm putting my power in you to rescue others. You see the difference? That's a lot different than come forward, say a prayer, and go to heaven. You know how many times I heard that as a young person and it never worked on me? I'd go to the Billy Graham style crusade and they'd say, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, believe in Him, and go to heaven. And I'm like, okay, but I never changed. My accept Him, how about Him coming to me and accepting me? And make Him my personal, my own, like He only belongs to me. It's like, no, He's the ruler of the universe. He's the God of the whole world. He's not just my personal God. He is God. It's just not about what I want Him to be for myself. He is the ruler, and He's bringing us all in. And I remember going to those prayer meetings and praying that stuff, and it's like it never changed me. But when I felt Him draw near and say, "Son, answer your call." He didn't say, "You know, you really ought to quit drinking." He didn't say that. I knew when He said, "It's over," that included drinking. He didn't say, "No, you really need to stop smoking weed." I didn't hear Him say that. He said, "It's over." I knew that weed was over. If you have to have someone come explain to you that weed is over, you've got to get into this embrace. Amen. He said, He didn't say, "You really need to stop snorting cocaine." I knew when He said it's over, cocaine was over. Amen. He didn't say, "I really need you to quit carousing and chasing women and all the things you do." He didn't say that. He said, "It's over." And I knew that was over. And I could go down a whole list of things. But He was saying, rock and roll is over. Partying is over. Having a foul mouth and using profanity all day. It was over. I swore when English words worked better. I had a foul mouth. And that night, it all changed. I stopped doing that. Why? Because He didn't just say, "Life raft." He said, "Come here. Come to Me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest for your soul. Come to Me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you drink." Jesus is not coming and saying, "You really ought to be better and not go to hell and stop sinning. So get over here and pray a prayer and start being better." That is not what this means. Jesus is coming to you. He's coming to the world. He's saying, "Come into My arms and let Me draw you into who I am, and let Me begin to give you the kiss of life. Let Me begin to breathe My hope into you. Let Me begin to breathe My love into you. Let Me begin to breathe the power of forgiveness. Let Me begin to breathe the nature of mercy." And I remember in those days, I would get on my hands and knees and just weep and cry a river. Why did I do that? Because I had never known love like that. The Bible says God is love. It doesn't say God is mad at everybody. God is love. And I would just cry. How many of you have ever experienced that? Where you came to church and you couldn't help it and you just wept and you lost it. It's like you couldn't get it back. It's like, I don't know how to recover. I'm just weeping in the presence of God because something is pouring out of me. A death, a depression, an anxiety, a fear, a loneliness, a hatred. It's like being like a vase being broken and all the contents are just gushing out. Has that happened to anybody in here? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. So a lot of hands went up. I watch this back home all the time. People will come to the church. Recently, a 40-year-old man came to church. He had been out of church for some 20 years. Amen. He's a pastor's son. A Pentecostal pastor's son and had not really served God for 20 years, and he came into our church. His wife had surrendered to the Lord recently, like a few days before, and the people that wanted to the Lord invited her, and she brought her family. And this young man comes into the church, and he sits through the meeting, and I looked at him, and I said, "Somewhere in your history, someone stood you up in a church service quite like this and prophesied that you were called by God to preach the gospel and said that you'd be a man of God. And you have not lived in it yet, but that is what God said, and you remember it. In fact, it happened more than once." And he looked at me, and he couldn't look at me anymore, and he looked at me again, and he just started weeping. I said, "God has not forgotten you. He loves you, and His hand is on your life. And if you will surrender to God today, God will give you that call, and you will become that man. He wept so hard, snot just pouring all over his clothes. He was trembling. And finally, he looked at him. He says, I can't take it anymore. My body can't handle this anymore. I can't take it. I'm about to collapse. And every time I see that man, we just baptized him 2 weeks ago, and he came up out of the water speaking in tongues, declaring the things of God. And every time I see him at church, he comes to the altar and just weeps. You know what's happened to him? Instead of saying, you know, you really ought to stop doing this stuff, when he comes to God, he can't help it. He feels the come here. Just come here. Jesus is saying, Jesus is saying, come here and let me hold you, son, and let me heal your pain. Let me heal your heart. Let me deliver you from what has tormented you. Let me, you live in those vices because you are deadening the pain. You are using that stuff to deal with what's killing you. I feel sorrow at times for people that are bound to alcohol, that are bound to drugs, cigarettes, porn. All these things they're dealing with. They're bound to it because they're trying to find comfort and relief because life is eating their lunch. It is destroying them. They are under pain. They are unresolved. Sometimes have demon spirits from their previous life tormenting them or their current life. And they are not just needing a talk to and a program. They're needing Jesus to wrap his arms around them and begin to set them free. To say, come here and let me rescue you from you. Let me rescue you from your self-hatred. Let me rescue you from your self-loathing. It was very interesting. We had a day here yesterday, all day, and at the end of it, two absolutely beautiful teenage girls walked in the door. And they walked in here, 13 and 14 years old, and said, we were walking by and we saw this was a church and we need to come in here. They gave their lives to Jesus. So we'll just cut to the end on that. So if you're wondering what happened, we prayed with them to surrender to God. They began to talk to me about the pain in their heart that made them want to hurt their own selves. And the struggle that they were going through in their own life and all the things that had happened to them and how it was taking them apart. And I began to tell them, Jesus loves you. There may be people in this room right now that like to hurt yourself. Self-harm, self-pain. Do you know how prevalent it is in this countries and these countries? How prevalent it is in these Western countries? People are so eaten up and so under darkness that the only thing they can do to reckon with it is to hurt their own bodies. Whether using instruments on themselves or putting substances into themselves. And all they are waiting for is for Jesus to say, come here and let me rescue you from what's killing you. From what's destroying you. From the pain that's working on your soul. The unmet expectations that you thought you'd have. Where you were abandoned. Where people treated you harshly so much that it reshaped your self-image. Do you know that Jesus knows everything that's happened to you in your history? Every unkind word, every bullying moment, every moment of failure that was so embarrassing you thought you'd never recover. Oh, we all have stuff like that in our life. Can I tell you something? That does not move God away from you at all. It moves him to you. Jesus died on the cross, not for some of your failures, but for all of them. Can I tell you a big thing? Wrap your brain around this. Jesus died and rose from the dead before you were ever born. and he took care of your sin before you ever committed one. So, when you met him, your sin was not the thing that defined your relationship with God. He paid the price in advance for all of it before you ever did any of it. So when you got saved, we would not have a reminder course of all that you've done. He's like, okay, I've taken care of the sin, so let that not be what we do anymore, and let that not be what defines our relationship, and not let that be what this is about going forward. Before you did one, I took care of it all, so let's just scrap that now, have it be under the blood, and let's talk about our life, not our failures. That's worth thanking God for. We're not going to go on and on all day. It says that he rescued us, listen to this, from the domain of darkness. I like that image, just keep that there. He rescued us from the domain. The word domain means authority. We sometimes think of domain, you know, like a territory or a perimeter of land. No, it's deeper than that. It's an authority. Authority. He delivered you from the authority of darkness. Who owns darkness? God is the God of light. The devil is the father of darkness. And the Bible says that Jesus came, laid hold of you there, drew you to himself, and when he did that, he broke the authority of darkness over your life. Authority insinuates or says, I have rulership over you and you are mine. When I saw myself as a young person, I understood that the devil owned me and that my allegiance was to him. When Jesus draws you to himself, the authority, the authorization, the jurisdiction of the devil and his angels and all of hell's power that would look at you and say, they belong to us. We can do to them what we want and nothing can stop us because they are ours. We have jurisdiction over their family line. We have jurisdiction over their heritage. We have been defiling their generation for years, and we have jurisdiction over their unrepentant and unresolved heart. They're ours. And we can kill them when we want to. We can defile them when we want to. We can show up and torment them in the middle of the night when we want to. We can sow lies into them when we want to. When I was a child and I did not know God, demonic power always was pursuing me, tormenting me. Anyone ever have stuff like that? Spirits and darkness and evil look like it pursued you. That happened to anybody here? You felt like evil was looking for you. Yeah. Am I the only person in here? Did anyone ever have that? Raise your hand if it ever happened to you. And there were times where I was so tormented by it, I said, I have to get delivered of this. But I had no power to get delivered of it because I was still living in it. You ever see people that want to be delivered of an addiction? Until Jesus wraps his arms around you and rescues you and begins to break that power over you, you can't make yourself get out from underneath it. I cannot will myself to be delivered from devils. I cannot make myself and will myself to be delivered from sin. You know, when I was a kid and I smoked dope and drank booze all the time, you know, there were days where I thought, you know, you really ought to stop that. Right? When you're barfing your guts out, that means throwing up. When you're throwing up because you drank all night or you're so stoned on drugs you can't drive and you can't think and you can't talk and your people around you are thinking there's something wrong with you. You think, you know, I really ought to stop this. Or when I'm so full of bitterness and pain that I can't love anybody. And I feel like I hate everyone, and I have no friends, and I'm lonely because I'm so full of anger. You really ought to change that, but never could. Never could. I could never make myself stop smoking dope. I could never make myself stop being rebellious. I hated authority when I was a boy because of the relationship I had with my father. I could not make myself not be rebellious. It was bred into me, born into me, and it was part of my fiber. It was like granular into my life. You say, me, you poor guy. Don't look at me. You are all the same way. This is not a counseling session for me. Just saying. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about us. Come on, we're not any different. You might have been raised in a different country, in a different culture, but you have a same devil. He's only got three tricks up his sleeve. Turn the rocks into food, throw yourself down and bow down and worship him. It's all he offered Adam and Eve. It's all he offered Jesus. He is very unoriginal. And what's amazing to me is that he only has three tricks up his sleeve and he is still destroying societies. He's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's redneck American language for let's keep going. This is working. I'll say that again. If it isn't broke, don't try to fix it. That's what he thinks. He's the ultimate redneck. Because there's no truth in him. He can't see anything else. But the problem is we keep buying it. And you will always buy it and never be free of it until that happens. But when that happens, when Jesus comes and wraps his arms around you, there ain't any devils going to reach you here.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Think about that. What devil in his right mind is going to go after that? How in the world is the devil going to get a hold of that man when he's there? He can't touch him. He can't touch this guy. He can't talk to him. He can't work on him. He can't do a thing. That man is so full into God, the devil, where'd he go? What happened to him? The light coming off Jesus is so powerful, the devil can't see that. You know what I want to be, Pastor Anderson? I want to be like the kind of guy that when I got saved and born again, I moved so deep into God, and so deep into the presence of God, and so deep into the light of heaven, and so deep into God's nature, where the devil's going, where did he go? I mean, we had him over here, but he's gone, and we can't, that light's too bright, I can't look at it. It's like looking at the sun at noon. I can't look at it. I can't put my eyes on it. So if he went there, we're done, because I can't reach into that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, give God praise. I love this passage. He rescued us from Satan's right and authority over our lives to own us and have us. That he no longer has jurisdiction. He no longer has a place to come and legally work on me. He's done. And it says this. He not only delivered us from that authority, but he transferred us. It means he came. He picked you up. He put you in his arms. And he said, I'm going to carry you from here to over here. And I'm going to set you down in life into the kingdom of my beloved son, the kingdom of my son's love. Oh, ho, ho. Woo. Imagine you're laying on the side of the road, half dead, all eaten up, depressed. And Jesus just comes and picks you up and puts you in his arms and says, let me begin to heal you. Let me begin to love you. And let's go over here and get you out of this hellhole and set you in a home and feed you good food and put clothes on you and begin to speak to your identity and begin to tell you who you are. And let me begin to love you and rebuild you. So that you could become for the first time in your life what you were born to be in the first place. Transferred us from the darkness of the evil into the kingdom of God's love, of his son. Can I tell you where that gets lived at? It gets lived in the church. The church is the local address where the family of God lives in the son's love. When we're together in the presence of God, Jesus is holding on to all of us. Just like, and at the same time, he's holding on to all of us. And we are all being transformed. How do you transform society? You take this message in your heart, in your transformed life, in your transformed family, and you walk out these doors and you say, I've got good news for you. bus driver, Costa Coffee worker, student, fellow worker, family member, neighbor, friends. I've got good news for you. The hell you're living in, and the destruction you're living in, and the pain you're living in, God wants to set you free from it. He has a plan for your life. And if you will let Him put His arms around you, He will heal you and transfer you. And this thing will no longer have authority to torment you anymore, because you have been delivered from it and set into the kingdom of love, where there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and you have a new life. Can't you come in and taste and see that the Lord is good? Invite one, invite all. May this building become so limited and so small that you either have to have multiple services or you just have to get another one, because there are so many people being transformed through your transformation that you can't hold them all. Yes. In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Oh man, the forgiveness of sins is a big deal, because the devil's favorite game is to be the accuser of the brethren and to try to remind you of all your failures and to tell you why you can't transform anything. You ever feel like that? I want to go out and tell everyone about Jesus, but I'm still such a mess, I don't think I can. So I'll ask the pastor to do it. The pastor's not going to go do it. You are going to go do it. Say, we are going to do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are ministers of reconciliation. Say, you are the preacher. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the preacher. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you are the preacher. We are going to go see society transformed by simply living and offering what Jesus did for us. That's how you transform society. No, you need a big Facebook account. No, you don't. You need a great website. No, you don't. We need Instagram and TikTok. No, we don't. We need a bunch of people who relish and thrive in their transformation and are anointed with power to say, we came to set you free. Put down your phone and pick up your Bible. We have come to set you free. Oh, I love that. Where I go, my wife goes. Everywhere we go, we set people free. There was people being set free yesterday. Everywhere we go, I love it, man. I love it. You know what's really awesome? Okay, I'm going to close with this. You know what's really awesome is when this is so real in your soul, and you're so in the light of it, and you're so in the life of it, and you're so in the joy of it, and you're so fulfilled in the power of it, that when you look at, you lift up your eyes going, oh baby, here we come. You and you and you and you. If you just respond to God right now, the power of that's about ready to hit you, and you're going to feel something you've never felt in your life, and you're going to know something you have never known in your life, and you're going to touch a transformation you've never known was possible, and you are going to be so blessed you're not going to be able to stand it. And to watch that happen over and over and over and over, like every day of your life. All these people in this community being blown away by that moment that changes them forever, and total strangers become their best friends. And you get to live and you just go like, there's not enough. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Tomorrow's a new day. What's going to happen tomorrow? More of that. In fact, I am so consumed with that that I'd just rather do that more than anything else. If I have to have a job, it's so I can do that. If I have to go to school, it's so that can happen. If I buy a house so I can live in a neighborhood where that can happen. If I start a business, it's so I can do that. Everything's about that. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That means seek that, and then He'll add the rest. So if we're spending all of our time seeking the rest and we don't have that, we've kind of missed the best part. I got to tell you, oh yeah, we should praise God right there. There's nothing like walking around and offering that everywhere we go. I remember when I first gave my life to Jesus, I was so excited about it. I quit school. He told me to quit school. I had a part-time job so I wouldn't be a burden to my parents, and I spent all my time praying and reading the Bible and walking around laying hands on people and telling everyone about Jesus and casting out demons. Oh, it was fun. You know why it was fun? Because I felt the joy relive in my own heart as I saw others experience it. If you're not on fire for your own salvation, just lead a person to Christ. And when you do, you experience that love for them all over again in your own heart. Every time I saw a devil come out of someone, I'm like, oh yeah, I knew what that was like when I got delivered to devils. Every time I saw someone break down and weep in the presence of God and pour out their pain, I'm like, oh, I remember that, and it was so beautiful, and I'm reliving it with you. You get addicted in a way. You get so attracted to transformation. That's all you want to do. Can I just tell you this? That's what this church exists for. So in case you thought this was the church of your choice and you attend church on Sundays, honey, there are no attenders in the Bible. That is not a gift of the Spirit. We don't vote and we don't attend. We join to a body and become ministers of transformation and reconciliation. That's what we do. Because God has delivered us, I should not have to keep being delivered every year. Unless it's the ongoing work of working out my salvation, but to have to be resaved all the time, God is not wanting to save you and have you go return to evil and then come back and return to evil. The seesaw effect is called immaturity in the Bible. Praise God. Well, thank you for listening today.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.